Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our special guest the mayor of Providence, Angel Taveras. Thank you for joining us, Mayor.
Thank you for having me.
General Assembly leaders promised at the start of the legislative session to focus on improving Rhode Island's economy. Yet the budget passed this week by the Rhode Island House seems mostly a status quo document. Scott, did the General Assembly miss an opportunity to use the budget to position Rhode Island for economic growth?
I think they did, and I think one of the things that we should ask the mayor about, of course, is it doesn't seem like there's enough money in there for cities and towns. Many of our communities are struggling, particularly we see Woonsocket, once again teetering on the brink of becoming the next Central Falls and heading into receivership. So I think that was a big thing. However, I will say that sometimes we have to think like doctors with the Hippocratic Oath and do no harm. And at least it doesn't look like they did a lot of bad things.
Mayor Taveras, what do you say about whether the budget in the General Assembly positions Rhode Island for growth, and how did Providence fare?
Well, let me say this. First of all, the General Assembly over the last several years has been very helpful to the city of Providence, and I recognize that. I think this budget, in terms of economic growth, there are a couple of things that I think are positive. One is the continuation of the school funding formula and phasing that in. I think we have to improve education, not only in the city, but in the state, if we want to be in a better position for economic growth. The second point that I'd bring out is that I think it was important to restore the historic tax credit. I know it's on a limited basis, but I think it's a really good first step, and that will be beneficial. That will be beneficial to a lot of cities and towns. Overall, though, I agree with Scott. The cities and towns, this is going to be a difficult budget for us. There's no doubt about that. Certainly, I was disappointed because with respect to Providence, we're looking at it right now, but we need a little bit more help than what we received, and it's going to be difficult to make all ends meet.
Maureen, how do you evaluate the budget passed by the House?
Well, I tend to agree. I think that the whole idea of first do no harm applies especially to what I thought was a misguided plan to restructure the Economic Development Corporation at a very late date. So I think to the extent that they let that go, I think that was a wise move. Secondly, I'm in mixed emotions about the municipal aid insofar as not so much to Providence, but some of these smaller cities. My concern would be by giving them more aid. Certainly, we need the school formula. It lessens the pressure for a lot of cities like Woonsocket, for example, to settle. In other words, they've got to make some serious decisions regarding pensions and unions. And to the extent that more money keeps flowing in, it really pushes back the deadline for constructive and really permanent engagement and settlement of these issues.
The House budget includes a $2.5 million payment to start the process of paying back 38 Studios bondholders. Mayor Taveras, was this the right move to include this money?
Well, I think it was absolutely necessary. And one of the things that we need to realize is that with respect to this, everyone has tied it to 38 Studios for obvious reasons. But we made a commitment with respect to these bonds. I am very concerned about the impact that it could have for the state and actually for all the cities and towns as well if we don't fulfill that commitment. And so I think it was necessary, and I support that. I understand why it was controversial to some degree, but the alternative, I think, would have been worse.
And yet these were moral obligation bonds. The state is not legally required to pay them back. Do you think the General Assembly made the right move here, Maureen?
I do. I agree with the mayor. I think there are huge ramifications down the line. We are going to see court cases in any case. But I think at this point, I think it was an opportunity for legislators to vet about how they weren't consulted. But I do think that the very least they had to do was to put the $2.5 million in for the payment and then see what kind of negotiating they can do down the road. But it's interesting. Just about every a high-level elected official has come out and said, we really have to put the money in and do something about this. And, I mean, you have, for example, Republicans who tend to be bomb throwers sometimes at this stage of the session, arguing against it, as well as maybe the progressive delegation. But I do agree with the mayor. We have to take this initial step.
Scott, the amount of money for repaying the 38 Studios bonds is due to increase about $12 million a year for 7 years starting next year. Where do you see the political fallout of this landing?
Well, it gets worse, of course, as we go along. And that's the sad part of this. First of all, the legislature knew about this and just fiddled and diddled. They could have taken this on and not waited until the last week here to throw together this quick study and see what they can do. I think the only hope we have right now is Governor Chafee hiring Max Wistow, the lawyer, to go after the law firms, the financial advisors, the people who got on this gravy train and made a substantial amount of money. And I'll tell you, they're malpractice insurers. These people have millions and millions in insurance. And it'll be fascinating to see what comes out of this lawsuit. In discovery, we could discover some things that really, really are not very good for a lot of the law firms and a lot of the financial advisors and the people who, frankly, sold the state a bill of goods.
Let's pose a few questions to our special guest, Mayor Taveras. Mayor, you're widely expected to be a Democratic candidate for governor next year. What is your timetable for revealing whether you will indeed run for governor?
Well, Ian, my timetable hasn't changed. As I've said, I'm strongly considering it, and I would have more to say about that by the end of this year.
As we know, State Treasurer Gina Raimondo is very successful in raising money. She's also expected to run for governor. Are you concerned about being able to raise enough money should you run for governor?
I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said enough money. That's what you need to have. I was outspent 2-1 in my mayoral campaign. Being outspent, that doesn't concern me. This election's not for sale.
Let's go to Maureen.
Well, one of the things I want to remind the mayor of, along with what you're saying, is everybody focuses early on about who has the money. And that's what the media focus on because they can look at reports. But we need to keep in mind Frank Caprio. Remember, he was the guy that had raised all the money, and look what it did for him. So in that sense, I think you are in a good position. My question is, you know, you're really building a strong legacy. You know, could you be jumping too soon? You're a young man, and it isn't like this is the last opportunity you're going to have.
Well, as I said, I'll have more to say about that at the by the end of this year, and I think that that same question could be asked of other potential candidates, and I hope it will be asked of other people.
Let's go to Scott.
Do you still have confidence in the leadership of the school department given what happened at the Birch School? Basically, these people running a sweatshop, and now the principal gets to retire with an $80,000 pension?
Well, let me just say that as soon as we learned what was going on there, the leadership in the school department, Dr. Lucy, who I have full confidence in, moved to terminate Mr. Roberti. We're looking also at everything that happened there. Now, we know, as you know, Scott, that this went on over 2 decades, according to the Department of Justice. We're looking at everything that happened there to make sure that it never, ever happens again, because our kids deserve better, our families deserve better, and we're going to make sure that we do better.
The outlook for historic immigration reform remains uncertain in the Republican-controlled U.S. House of Representatives. Scott, how do you see the stakes here, and where do you see this going?
Well, this is going to tear the Republican Party apart, I think. We've already seen the fact that Speaker Boehner, on the farm bill just recently, in food stamps, doesn't seem to be able to control his troops. So this immigration fight is going to be fascinating. It pits the old, angry white Southern males of the party against the newly emerging Latino voters, and we're going to see how this sugars off.
What do you say to the same question, Mayor?
Well, I think immigration reform is absolutely necessary, and I'm very happy to see the focus that the Congress has on it. It's important, I think, for the future of our country. And just recently, I think it was the Congressional Budget Office who came out and said that immigration reform would help reduce the deficit in over the next 2 decades. So this is a good economic policy. It's good sound policy, and I'd like to see it happen. It's important for us.
Maureen, how do you expect Republicans to reconcile their need for greater appeal among minorities with their reluctance to support this immigration reform?
Well, I think at this point, although you never know, the GOP never passes up an opportunity to pass up an opportunity. But the fact is that this is really shaping up to be a discussion, given the economic ramifications and given the desperate shape of the Republican Party. I'm more optimistic. I think Boehner will be able to come up with a deal. And if it doesn't happen, it's not only the Republicans, it's the Congress as a whole. I mean, if they can't do this, I mean, it's really hopeless.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Always great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
The mayor of Providence, Angel Taveras.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.